To meet Olga Figotova Connolly, a woman with a remarkable story. It's a tale of Olympic gold, Cold War romance, and communist malice. In her early 20s, Olga Figotova was studying to be a doctor in Prague, but was also a serious athlete, representing Czechoslovakia in basketball and handball, before turning her hand to the discus, the discipline that was to make her name. At the age of 24, she was the only Czechoslovak athlete to take a gold medal at the 1956 Olympic Games in the Australian city of Melbourne. A day before the games began, she met an American athlete called Harold Connolly, who himself was to win gold in the hammer a day after Olga's success. A whirlwind romance followed, with the international press describing them as Olympic gold lovers between whom the Iron Curtain had fallen. But if the path of true love never did run smooth, it was even more complicated, much more complicated, for Olga and Harold, as we'll hear in a few minutes. Today, Olga Figotova Connolly is a vigorous and good-humoured 75-year-old. We spoke when she visited Prague recently to receive a lifetime award for fair play from the Czech Olympic Committee. My first question: what did it feel like topping the podium at the Olympic Games in front of 100,000 people?
It really doesn't matter also much how many people there are in the stadium, because if you are really intent on your track meet, you don't think so much about that. But I think there'd be the crowds of people, it's more like an internal thing. You want to win, or in my case, but you also want to win for your family, for your country, for all those, your value system, whatever you is inside you. You want to just maybe make people happy. I just want to make people happy, not so much proud or something, and happy. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty of the whole thing, it's the same thing as in practice. It's you or your implement, and you just try to do the best you can. So all together, if you are really well prepared, you are in such a good harmony of physical and mental and emotional that you are almost sick with tension, kind of inner tension, which is good, which is adrenaline, normal action. And then once you start warming up and once you start going into your event, then it's just you and your event. And the whole preparedness just shows on your performance, that's all. But when you do manage to win, and there's a lots of... you have to be healthy at that moment. You have to be in good mental and physical balance. It doesn't come always, even if you are a well-trained athlete. And so if it happens, so you're very fortunate too, then of course you are, just for a moment on the top of the world. And so, like for myself, I'm standing in a victory stand, and I can hear and see how people are happy in Czechoslovakia, but at the same time there's this whole stadium yelling and applauding and calling my name and so forth. So to me it was like, my gosh, this whole mankind loves me. It's a representative from everywhere, and I love all mankind. So it was almost a commitment for continuation of this love, of this embrace of everybody. That was my internal feeling. That's it.
I understand that you had been throwing the discus for only 2 years before you won the Olympic gold and set an Olympic record. How is that possible?
Well, yes, I was throwing the discus for maybe less even than 2 years. But it's a little bit of a, would cause a false imagery, because before that I competed in European handball and in basketball, and I was a member of national team in both, so I was a very highly trained athlete. And because both handball, I was a goalie, and basketball by itself, they're very, very, very movement-oriented sports. So already I believe I had a great deal of neuromuscular coordination and pathways that were developed, right? So when I was, when I started to throw the discus, as my old coach, Otakari Andera was his name, and he was a very venerable coach. He said, at your level of athleticism, all you need is to learn the technique and catch the rhythm of it. So he started me by playing the Blue Danube over and over on the loudspeakers in the stadium and have me making turns. So it was a little bit different, you know. I can say that before I went to the Olympic Games, I probably had, well, let's say from the age of 14 through 23, whatever, 9 years of, or before the 2 years, 7 years of really heavy training. So that's, and then the dress was added to it.
But the 1956 Olympics in Melbourne weren't just the question of athletic success for you. You also met your future husband there, and that became a big story internationally.
Yes, that was neither of us calculated that.
So I should say also he's an American athlete who won the gold in the hammer, Harold Connolly.
Yes, well, Harold came to Melbourne mainly to compete against his really a pen pal of sort. They exchanged greetings. Krivonosov from Soviet Union. I was very curious about him, and I came just because I was a discus thrower. But my plans were to come back, finish medical school, maybe one day go and work with Albert Schweitzer. My mind was somewhere else completely. But somehow fate brought us together. And we found that although we were from opposite or far away corners of the world, and definitely from political systems that were seemed to be completely incompatible, that when it came to basic human values, observations, that we were extremely similar, and we were trying, in my very fragmented English, and his fragment in German, because he before traveled in Germany, we were kind of putting together ideas and views, and we were surprisingly close together, and from that was developing, besides curiosity and friendship, also a feeling of love.
And tell us, how did the Czechoslovak team minders react to the fact that you... This was at the height of the Cold War. You, a Czechoslovak athlete, were seeing an American athlete.
Well, that was a big, big problem. Maybe also incentive to to our getting closer together, because I felt that they were insulting to Harold when, for example, we went to a concert. That was the Olympic event. It was part of the Cultural Olympics. And in that concert hall, we met leaders of our delegations, and I was introducing my ex-husband, and two of the leaders just turned away, and one said, "Excuse me," and turned away, and wouldn't even talk. Harold, at that point, he looked at me and he said, "I don't have any infectious disease. Why don't they talk to me?" And I said, "Oh, you will understand. I think we need to go to our seats," because I was scared. Now I'm looking at it as how foolish those people were. You cannot close your mind. You have to, if you don't learn about the other people, how can you judge them?
A year later, your future husband-to-be, Harold, came to Prague, and you got married here in 1957. Tell us about your wedding.
Okay. It was not even a year later. It was like several months later. When Harold was traveling Europe, representing the State Department, Ambassador of Goodwill, and when his tour ended, then he came to Prague and we had a wedding. It was a secret wedding. We were not really told. I already knew that having a weekend wedding probably would not please the authorities, and I was afraid to cause any problems to my parents. So I said, let's have a wedding in the middle of the week. So when we went to apply for it, I asked for Wednesday, middle of the weekday, and in fact got some praise for it. Yes, that was a smart thing to do. And please, I was told, don't talk to anyone about the wedding. It's your personal thing. I said, of course it's my personal thing. Well, and then when the wedding day arrived and our cars couldn't get to the city square, I thought it was an accident. There was an accident. But actually there was, I don't know, somebody said 25, somebody said 30,000 people showed to see the wedding.
This was on the Old Town Square in Prague.
Old Town Square, and some came to see because they've never seen Dana and Emil Zátopek, because they were our witnesses. Some came to see the American who came to Prague. They never have seen a regular average American or American champion like that. And some came because they wanted to be friendly to me. And it turned out into just a crowded festival. People had fun.
Listening to Radio Prague with Ian Willoughby. Our guest on this special May Day program is 1956 Olympic discus champion Olga Figotova-Connolly. Her wedding at Prague's Teen Church may have been a big event, but it followed great difficulties and preceded several more. In the tense era of the Cold War, the communist authorities were reluctant, to say the least, to allow her to marry a U.S. athlete. She eventually found herself petitioning the president, Antonín Zápotocký.
When we decided to get married, we applied, as anybody else, for a permit to marry a foreigner. There was lots and lots of paperwork to cover. And even when we finished all the paperwork and we have submitted it, the various representatives, they were telling me, basically they were telling me that I was a traitor and that I'm running around with an American fascist and such kind things, which made me terribly sad. But I guess because I was young, those young people have a rebellion in them, made me kind of a little bit more rebellious too. Anyway, at one point, Harold suggested that we write a letter to the president. He says, just write a letter to the president. I said, no, you can't do that. He said, why? I said, I don't know why, but I guess we don't do things like that. He said, I'll write the letter. And he wrote actually one letter. And then I wrote a letter too. And I wrote the letter actually then. And after, it was close to a big congress that was changing sport to kind of a from less efficient administrative procedures to more efficient ones. And I was at the Congress too, and the president opened the Congress, and Emil Zátopek spoke to him at that point. And the president said he doesn't have time to worry about people's personal affairs. But the next day, I received a note from his office that he granted me an audience, so I went and spoke to him. And he had some false images, that Harold's father has a business and that the business needs me there for publicity. But really, Harold's father was a war veteran at that time, living in a veterans hospital because he was badly injured, and some other things. And I just told Mr. President, you don't have a good information. And he said, well, this is what information I have. I said, well, whoever did it was a liar. I was kind of mad, you know. But the president was, he was kind. I can't say that he wasn't kind. He just said, well, I really can't help you very much because it's the different offices have to make the decision. What do you want me to do? And I said, just whatever you can, put in your kind word. And he said, well, I tell you what, you have my blessing, but all I can do for you, put in a kind word. But a few days afterwards, we received the permit. So I'm sure that he put a kind, strong word.
I understand also, though, that later the Czech or Czechoslovak Olympic Committee kind of went against Zapotocki's wishes and wouldn't let you continue to represent Czechoslovakia once you were married. You wanted to.
The way things turned out was that I received a permit to get married, to have a wedding, and also to leave for the United States. But I didn't receive a passport. But, you know, at that time, I didn't even know about passports very much. When we traveled in a group with sports. We didn't have passports. We had some kind of IDs. And so when I received a paper that says I can immigrate to the United States, I just took it. And I started to realize that something was wrong on the express train to Vienna. When at the borders, everybody had a real passport. I had this paper. And then when we came to Washington, we visited the embassy, where I thought I was supposed to turn in the paper, the Czech embassy then, and the Czech ambassador, you know, took it and looked at it as if he doesn't know what to do with it. And so I said, well, can I, from you then, receive, I guess they're just sending this to you and I can receive a real passport now. And he said, well, we don't expect you to traipse around the world when you have a visa to come here. That was very strange. But I still thought I can go back and forth, but then I did not receive a visa to go for European Championship in Stockholm. And when I was training and so forth and asked how will I qualify for the Czech team, do I have to come to Czechoslovakia for championships, national championships or what, I received from the Olympic Committee a letter that they no longer consider me a country person. If I can prepare myself in Prague, then I can compete. And then I realized that I was basically told no. Of course, I was told no. I was just crushed about it, mainly because I promised something to the president and I had no way to explain. And soon afterwards, well, in Rome, I learned that somehow everybody's very angry with me, because the Czech athletes turned away from me, wouldn't talk to me in Rome. And then much later in Mexico City, finally, it was kind of interesting. I met a group of Czech athletes and I kind of looked at them, they looked at me, and so I said hello in Czech. And they all knew me anyway, or heard about me or whatever, they started talking to me. And one said, all right, tell us, how was it? Did you really fly the coop or whatever? Or did they play some game on you? Okay, did they give us a pack of lies about you? And I said, I did not. I told them what happened. And it was only then that people began to understand that it was said about me that I refused to compete, when in fact I was not allowed to compete. But you know, it's the water under the bridge. And when I came 2 years ago, I was invited by this new Czech Olympic Committee. Those guys were not even born when I, or they were in diapers when I was competing. So we became almost instant friends, and it's totally different now. But now I'm an American.
Indeed, Olga Fekotova-Connolly was to represent the United States at four Olympic Games. She even carried the US flag at the opening ceremony at Munich in 1972. She never repeated her gold success. Her marriage to Harold ended in the mid-1970s. Today, Mrs. Fikotova Connolly lives in California and is still very active. A lot of her energy goes into promoting environmental awareness. That's an issue very close to her heart. She also leads a Keep Fit group and works in a shop selling mountaineering goods. Thanks for joining us for this special May 1st program. Tomorrow we'll be back with our usual